go on, and I feel like that the Lord would have us to bring a message on the home tonight, which would be appropriate with what we just heard. A couple of books on the back table back there. The Extraordinary Wife. The Extraordinary Wife and the Extraordinary Husband. Don't leave church without them, all right? I'll go back there and check those out tonight and be a blessing to you. We've been doing something different. We're doing a home improvement conference, what we call a home improvement conference on building a happy family. So I want to bring one of those messages tonight. A woman bought a parrot one time for a pet, but the parrot was a pest. It was rude. It insulted her continually. Every time she tried to pick it up, it would peck her and bite her on the arm. And one day the parrot said to the woman, the parrot said, "You're ugly and I can't stand you." Well, the woman had all she could take, so she grabbed the parrot, threw it into the freezer, and closed the door. And the parrot kept on talking for about 2 minutes, and finally the parrot went silent. And the woman thought, "Oh no, I've killed the parrot." So she opened the door, and the parrot just looked at her. And then the parrot said this, "I'm very sorry. I apologize for my bad behavior. And I promise you, I will never insult you again. From now on, I will be a respectful, obedient parrot." And the woman said, "Well, okay, apology accepted." And the parrot said, "But can I ask you just one thing?" And the woman said, "Yes, what?" And the parrot looked back at the freezer, and he asked this question, "What did that chicken do?" Words are important. Say that out loud. Words are important. You know, Jesus gave the disciples power to heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out devils. Young preacher one time got excited. He got all mixed up. He said, "We've got the power to heal the dead, to cast out the sick, and raise the devil." So he kind of got those little phrases mixed up. But the misuse of words is one of the most important problems in the home. So I want to talk to you tonight about a happy home as where people use appropriate words. Now, you have power in your mouth. I don't know if you comprehend this or not, but the Bible says the life and death are in the power of the tongue. Jesus said, "The words I speak, they are spirit and they are life." You can speak life into your home. You can speak spirit into your home. You have the power in your mouth to bless or to blast. You have the power to delight or to destroy. You have the power to build up or to tear down, and what you say or don't say influences other people. You know, everybody longs for a nest without thorns. Everybody longs for a nest without thorns, a place that's free from verbal barbs, a place that's peaceful, a place that's pleasant, where there's pure speech. And let me just say this tonight. Before revival comes to the church, revival has to come to the home. There'll be no revival in the church unless there's revival in the home. That's where it starts. So tonight, Ephesians chapter 4, do we have that scripture up there? Yeah, happy homes is where people speak appropriately. Here's the text. Let's just look at it for the sake of time. See how the choir blew it. I'll try not to mess up. I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding here, brother. Now, if I mess up, can I start over? That's what I want to know. Can I start over? All right, read this out loud. Save my voice. You read it. Wherefore, read that one more time. Wherefore, the Bible says here, put away lying, speak truth with your neighbor. That means deception is forbidden in speech. We shouldn't be dishonest. Honesty is commanded. We're to speak truth. Father, I have a word for every heart, every home, every husband, every wife, every mother, every father, every son, every daughter, every child, every parent, every grandparent. God, thank you for speaking to us about our speech in our homes. We anticipate blessing, and we give you praise for what Brother Andy said tonight. All God's people said, amen. Amen. We're talking about speech. A woman came into a butcher shop back in the old days, and she wanted a chicken, so the butcher reached into the barrel. How many remember the barrel thing with the chicken, the barrel full of chickens? You young people have to Google it up. And he reached in there and pulled out a chicken, threw it on the scale. It weighed 5 pounds. And the woman said, "Well, do you have a bigger chicken?" Well, that was the only chicken he had. So he put the same chicken back in the barrel and pulled it out the second time, put it up on the scale, resting his hand on the scale. This time it weighed 7 pounds. And the lady said to the butcher, "Good, I'll take both of them. So be sure your sin will find you out." Now, we looked at it last night. Your speech is the most accurate gauge of your spiritual condition. If any man among you seem to be religious, but bridleth not his tongue, this man's religion is vain. Now, your speech will either validate or violate your profession of faith. If you can't control your tongue, the Bible says your religion is unreal. It's vain. It's empty. Now, corrupt speech is forbidden. We have verse 29. Can you pull that one up there? All right, skip that one. Go over to 29. There it is right there. Read this one out loud. Let no... We need help on responsive reading right here at Valley View Baptist Church. We're going to try this one more time, and I'm going to lead, and you follow me. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it might minister grace unto the hearer. Much better class. Now, corrupt speech is forbidden. You know what that word corrupt means? It means putrid. It means rotten. Don't let any rotten, putrid, corrupt speech come out of your mouth. I might have told you this story, but I grew up down in Southside, Virginia. My parents were old school. My dad was like 50 years old just about when I was born. And they had a garden. How many know that everybody came through the Depression was different? They thought different. Yeah, they're more conservative, you know what I'm saying? So we had this huge garden, man. And we had like a half acre of potatoes. And in the summer, it was my brother and I's job to go harvest the potatoes. Well, we had a John Deere M tractor, two-cylinder putt-putt. We had an old horse-drawn plow we'd put behind the tractor. And the trick was, if you go down the potato row and hit it just right, then the potatoes just kind of flop out, fall out, and roll over into the row. And that was the theory, and it worked sometimes. Well, we're out there picking up these potatoes. It's about 100 degrees at my dad's 1950 Chevrolet pickup truck as the vehicle of hauling potatoes. And we're out there, and I'm going up and down the row, and I see this potato that is kind of sticking in the side of the furrow where we cut with the plow. So I reach down to grab it and pick it out. And when I picked the thing up in my hand, I could tell it was an unstable potato. In other words, it was rotten, and it was liquefied on the inside, but thank the Lord, the skin was still intact. So it's about the size of a baseball. I used to throw pitch baseball in high school, and my brother was 10 feet away. And when I looked at this potato, and I looked at him, and I looked back at the potato, and he looked at me, and he turned around and started hauling. Now, brother, I took that potato. I could pitch about 85, 90 miles an hour, and I reared back, and I let go of that potato, hit him square in the back, and that thing just burst wide open. How many of you ever smelled a rotten potato? Not a whole lot worse than a rotten potato, I'm telling you. That thing went all over him. His lunch went all over the ground, and his fist went all over me after he had recovered from that situation right there. But it was rotten. It was putrid. It was filthy. And the Bible says, don't let any kind of speech like that come out of your mouth. That means no yelling in the home. No name calling in the home. No put downs in the home. You know, when family members begin to argue and quarrel, the Satan declares himself neutral and supplies ammunition for both sides. Don't let any corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Disrespect brings division. Say that out loud. Disrespect brings division. Corrupt speech, what does it do? Contaminates, alienates, separates and divides. Now, don't verbalize every thought that comes into your mind. I was in the second grade. You know, I was the youngest child. My parents were too old to discipline me. You know what I'm saying? They didn't have the energy. So I pretty much did whatever I wanted to do, said whatever I want to say. And I didn't know any better. I was in the first grade, and we're having a play at our school, and the second graders got up and dressed up like zoo animals. And they acted like zoo animals. And I thought, man, Captain Kangaroo is pretty good, but this is awful. And I verbalized my disapproval. And I said to one of the second graders, it's about the sorriest thing I ever saw in my entire life. I really wasn't trying to be mean. I was just telling them what I thought. How many know that you don't have to verbalize everything you think? D.L. Moody said, if God's people would not talk for 30 days, we'd have revival. A woman said to Wesley, I think I know what my talent is. She said, I think I know what my talent is. Wesley said, say on. She said, I think my talent is to speak my mind. Wesley said, I don't think God would mind if you buried that talent. Now, brother, corrupt speech is forgiven, is forbidden. Edifying speech is commanded. It says, that which is good to the use of edifying, that it might minister grace. In other words, gracious speech is kind, warm, inviting. I asked my wife on the way over here tonight. I said, how kind am I? I want to get her feedback. How kind am I? I mean, you know, some people are too kind to tell you the truth, but my wife's not one of them. And, brother, I'm just telling you, she said, most of the time. I said, that's good. That's what I want to know. I want to know the truth. I want to hear this. Now, make it your purpose every day to speak blessing into the lives of your family. Now, let me give you some rules for family conversations. Rules for family conversations. If a happy home is where family members speak appropriately, we find a lot of help right here in these couple of verses. So let me give you some rules for family conversations. Number one, think twice before you speak. Think twice before you speak. Now, think before you speak, but don't speak everything you think. I learned that lesson in the first grade because I got in trouble. Now, look, smart people speak from experience. But smarter people from experience don't speak. Smart people speak from experience, but smarter people from experience don't speak. In other words, when your mind goes blank, don't forget to turn off the sound. If your brain is in park, make sure your mouth is not in high gear. Now, your thoughts, your thoughts are important. We talked about that last night. Your thoughts are important. Because your thoughts precede your words. Your thoughts precede your words. Your thoughts precede your words. What am I saying? Your thoughts precede your words. Your words create an atmosphere. You need to think twice before you speak. Your mind and your mouth are synchronized. They're interrelated and they're inextricably bound together. So if you want to control, you got to control your thoughts in order to control your tongue. What's in the well comes up in the bucket. I mean, what you're meditating on, buddy, is going to spill out. The words are just the overflow of your heart. That's all that is. It's just an artesian bubbling up. So control your tongue, control your thoughts. Now listen, if you want to get something out of your mind, get it out of your mouth. Don't rehearse it. Don't regurgitate it. Don't go over it and over it again. You know, you ever get around some people? You ever done this? Something happened to you and you just happened to come up with those stories, kind of like I did last night with the people that ripped me off. You know, you shouldn't be doing that. If you want to get something out of your mind, get it out of your mouth. I'll give you another thought. You want to get something out of your mouth, get it out of your mind. And I want to tell you, the kind of words you use in your home will create a tone. It will create a climate. It will create an atmosphere. So the Bible has much to say about gracious words. It talks about kind words, gentle words, patient words, loving words. The climate in your home is the consequence of your thoughts and words. And since your thoughts precede your words, you have to qualify the thoughts you allow to come into your mind because your words create an environment. Now, you got a little piece of paper out there tonight. I want you to pull that thing out and look at it for a second right here. This is the top 100 list. And here's a little exercise. Pull your pen out right there and write out about 10 things on this list right here. Top 100 list. I was preaching in Czech, Virginia for Warren Brown. And Warren Brown came to me and he got up in the service. He said, I want you to go home tonight and write down your top 100 list. What is he saying? He said, write down the top 100 things you're thankful for. So I thought, okay. We got in the car. I'm driving. And about 12 minutes, my wife had written down 117 things, our top 100, over 100 top list. And we came back to church the next night. Pastor got up and said, how many of you did your top 100 list? You know what some people said? Some people said we couldn't think of 100 things, Brother Randy. You know what I knew? They weren't in the custom of thanking God, because if they had been in the habit of thanking God, you can reel off 100 things pretty quick. But if you're not in the habit of expressing gratitude to God, it might become a laborious exercise. So here's something that'll help you get your thoughts straightened out. Top 100 list. Take about 30 seconds. Write down 5 or 6 things you're thankful for. We even have categories. Things you're thankful for about God, about your family, about your friends. Spiritual benefits, physical blessings, material provisions. Go ahead and put your truck on there, Pastor, for material provision. Go ahead and you're boasting about that truck and trying to make me feel bad about it. Go ahead and put that down on your list right there. But church, ministries. Just take 30 seconds, put down some things you're thankful for. We'll get a jump on the top 100 list right here, right now. The Bible says, whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report and whatever virtue and praise, think on these things. So you've got to qualify your thoughts. And I'll tell you what will help you to do that. Instead of meditating on your bruises, count your blessings. So you write down a few things. Write down a few things right there. Now here's the exercise for tonight. When you go home this evening, if you have a family in your home with you, fill out the whole list. Make it a joint exercise. Put out 100 things that you're thankful to God about. All right? All right, so do that when you get home tonight. I want to get you started, because I knew you wouldn't do nothing if we didn't start on it right here. Amen? So I'm big on implementation. All right. Now, somebody said, in company guard your tongue, but in solitude guard your thoughts. Think twice before you speak. Let me give you some rules for speech real quick. Number one, here's how to qualify your speech. Is it true? Is it true? Number two, is it necessary? Just because it's true doesn't mean it's necessary. And number three, is it loving? And if you can't pass those three rules, then maybe you ought to put it off for a while, all right? So think twice before you speak. Number two, for conversation in the home, speak calmly, not combatively. Speak calmly, not combatively. How many know that Archie Bunker was a jerk? Say amen on that point right there. Huh? Called his wife a dingbat. What kind of guy is this? But anyhow, swallowing angry words before you say them is better than having to eat them afterwards. Just zip it up. You ever get in a conversation with somebody and you got a negative tidbit you want to throw out, and the Spirit of God says, don't say that. Keep quiet. But you really want to say it. I mean, no, you got to zip it sometime. Amen. Speak calmly, not combatively. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. I want to tell you that self-control is the key to speech control. Spirit control is the key. You've got to learn to control yourself before you can control that little unruly member. By the way, J. Harold Smith, I had a sermon on the little red devil, the tongue. He said the tongue was so hot, it was so hot, set on fire of hell, that God had to put it in a wet solution or else it would have burned our heads off. That little red devil. Listen to F.J. Hugel. Listen to this. The Christian's victory is not over others, but over himself. His sword is drawn not to slay his fellow man, but to slay himself. He wins by losing. He triumphs by being defeated. He lives by dying. His crown is a crown of thorns. His throne is a cross. His weapon is not strength, but weakness. The tongue is never satisfied. It must be crucified. Buddy, you better learn how to apply the cross. The cross to that little member right there. Remember, Moses brought the children from the Red Sea into the wilderness. They went for 3 days and found no water. It wouldn't have been a problem if they'd been in Virginia in the last 6 months, but they couldn't find any water. And when they came to Marah, the Bible says they couldn't drink of the waters, for the waters were what? They were bitter. They were bitter. And the Lord told Moses, cried out to God, and the Lord said to Moses, showed him a tree, and when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. I want to tell you, there's only one tree that can sweeten the waters of a bitter heart, and that's a tree called Calvary. Amen. We got to have the application of the cross to our tongue. Speak calmly, not combatively. Number three, rules for conversation in the home. Compliment instead of criticize. Learn to compliment instead of criticize. Criticism is the death gargle of a non-achiever. Criticism is the death gargle of a non-achiever. You know why half the population of the United States hates America? Because they ain't doing beans, so they want to criticize everything that ever happened. I just want to go on record and say something here tonight. This is not a perfect country, but it's the best thing going in the whole entire world. And we have fed the world, defended the world. We have protected the world. We haven't done everything right. And we've done some things that are wrong. But we've done more right than what we've done wrong. And I'm not ashamed. And I'm sick of the critics falling out with everything that happens. No extra charge for that anti-socialist word right there. All right, now back to the message right here. Now tack. Is the knack of making a point without making an enemy. You know, you can make a point without making an enemy. How do you do that? Before you correct, compliment. You know, there's a time to correct, but sometimes just come with a word of compliment first. Now, look for reasons to praise your family. Magnify positive qualities. Praise is a motivator. Praise inspires people. Now, listen, the Old Testament, the patriarchs pronounced verbal blessings on their children. Remember how Isaac blessed his sons? Joseph blessed his children. And those blessings were prophetic. What the father said carried weight. What that father said impacted his offspring. What that father said came true in the lives of their children. And their words were translated into reality. You know what you ought to do? You ought to start blessing your family. Start blessing them. You can bless your children. You can bless your spouse. You can bless your friends. The Bible says you can even bless your enemies. I mean, a little help on that one right there, amen? But you can do that. Compliment instead of criticize in the home. Rule number four, magnify the positives instead of the negatives. Magnify the positives instead of the negatives. You know, you've got to resize your experiences. Because whatever you make big is what you think about. That's why you got to be thinking on the right stuff. That's why you got to fill this out about every week or two. You know what I'm saying? Because you got to resize your experiences. And I'm just telling you, you got to learn how to magnify the positives. And you choose what you magnify. Now, make it a practice to give an encouraging word to people all the time. There was a man one time, he had a practice. He decided he's going to encourage his pastor every Sunday. And every Sunday after the sermon, as he'd go out the door and the pastor was in the back shaking hands, he always had a compliment. He always came up with something positive to say. And he was in church one Sunday, and this guy did this every week, every month, every year, all the time. But one Sunday, apparently the pastor laid a homiletical egg. In other words, he couldn't think of a single thing to compliment the pastor. So he's in line waiting to shake hands, and he's going back and he's racking his brain trying to come up with something. And finally he got to the door, took the pastor's hand, and he looked at him, shook his hand. He said, "Pastor, great text today, Pastor. You had a great text." And I'm telling you, if you're looking for something to compliment people about, you can come up with something. Compliment. Now magnify the positives. We were at a couples retreat one time, and the director told us that, gave us an instruction to stand up and say one thing we appreciated about our spouses. Just get up and tell one thing you appreciate about your spouse. Well, this friend of ours, he got up, and he got up and he shook his head, and he said, "Well, I've learned to put up with a lot over the years." And I'm sitting here thinking, of all the stupid things to say, I mean, what are you talking about? How many here ever said something stupid? Lift your hand if you ever said something stupid, amen. Well, that was really stupid. Now look, be kind to everybody because everybody's fighting a hard battle. You got to work at maintaining a positive atmosphere in your home. You know, when our children were growing up, there's a lot of things we didn't do that other people did, but we didn't make a big deal out of the negatives. We didn't sit around and lecture them all day long on why we didn't do certain things. We just tried to give them some reasons, you know, principles, scriptural reasons, but we didn't harp on the negatives. And if we did one thing in our home, you ask my wife, we tried to make our house have a celebration atmosphere. I mean, we were all the time looking for a reason to have a party. Because I was with so many people, and they would say, "You know, Harold, if we didn't go to visit our children, they never would come visit us after they grew up." And I thought, man, I don't want that to happen to us. So we did everything to make our house a celebration atmosphere, man, a happy atmosphere, because we wanted them when they left to want to come back. And I'm telling you, you can cultivate that. Why? How? By magnifying the positives. One man said, I'm going to spend the rest of my life encouraging people. I'm going to spend the rest of my life encouraging people. And I'll tell you what, magnify the positives instead of the negatives. Number five, rules for conversation in the home. Listen first and speak later. Listen first, speak later. The Bible says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, right? So listen first and speak later. Listening is an art. Why do you think people pay shrinks $150 an hour? Because they sit there and listen and keep their mouth shut. I'll do it for $75. How many of you know that the church ought to be a place where people can talk to people without obligation, for crying out loud? Learn to be a good listener. Now, I just read this. All right, I just read this. Don't know if it's true, but I read that the average man speaks 7,000 to 10,000 words a day. I read the average woman speaks about 20,000 to 25,000 words a day. I just read this. I don't know if it's true. And one guy said, well, the only problem with that is when I've come home from work, I've already used up my 7,000 words, but my wife has not even started on her 25,000 words. So now, listen first, speak later. Now, people come up, strangers come up to me and tell me all kinds of stuff. You wouldn't believe some of the stuff people come up and say to me. And I'm sitting here thinking, what, do I look like a doctor? They come up with all these things, and or do I look like a psychologist? Do I look that goofy? I mean, really? And I asked my wife, I said, why do people come up and tell me all this kind of stuff? And then I came up with this. Well, maybe the reason they come up and tell me this is because I look so old, I'm no longer a threat, so they don't mind telling me all of their intimate details. Maybe that's what it is. I'm not certain what it is for sure. But the Bible does say this. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Listen first, speak if necessary. Listen first, speak if necessary. Listening is a sign of respect. Now, let me give you some tips on how to listen. All right, kids, listen to this. Men, women, listen to this. When you're talking to somebody and somebody's talking to you, look them in the eye. Don't give them this number. Mm-hmm. Look them in the eye. Give them your undivided attention. Hear them out. Don't try to predict what they're going to say. Just listen. Now, when you listen, you better be listening for pain. You better be listening for pain. Most people don't communicate forthrightly in hot communication. Most of it's cool communication, which is kind of code and all that kind of stuff. But you got to learn to listen for pain. Listen for discouragement. Listen for honor. Listen for understanding. Listen for desire. When people are talking to you, listen to what they're saying. Listen for hunger. Because brother, I want to tell you, reach is the evidence of pursuit. And when people talk, they're looking for answers and they're looking for help. Do you realize you're here to solve problems? Do you realize your phone wouldn't ring if somebody didn't want something from you? The only time my phone rings is when somebody wants something from me. You know, sometimes they just want somebody to listen. That's all they want. But listen first, speak later. Number six, rules for conversation in the home. Don't interpret. Don't interrupt. Learn to interpret. Don't interrupt. Learn to interpret. Say that out loud. Don't interrupt. Learn to interpret. One time there's a man that asked his wife what she wanted for her birthday. And the wife said, well, she wanted to be six. So birthday day came and he got her up early and they went off to the amusement park. He put her on the Ferris wheel, the roller coaster, and the scrambler. And then 5 hours later, they stumble out of the amusement park. He took her to McDonald's, went in there and bought her a kid's Happy Meal. After that, they went to the movies and watched Star Wars, and he loaded up with popcorn and M&Ms and soft drinks. And the moment they got home, she was exhausted. She collapsed in bed. And the husband said to his wife before she went to sleep, "Well, dear, what was it like being six again?" And the wife, with one eye open, said, "You idiot, when I said six, I meant my dress size." So he totally missed what she was saying. Now, strong communication is the key to healthy relationships. Do you believe that? Strong communication is the key to relationships. Lack of communication diminishes understanding. And I want to tell you something. It diminishes emotional involvement. Some of you are not good at expressing yourselves. You got to work at it. When my wife and I got married, we set aside 30 minutes every day for conversation. Remember this? One day I would lead the conversation, no problem. And then the next day, she'd have to lead the conversation, required effort. But I knew that if we didn't learn to talk and talk it out from the get-go, we're probably going to have problems on down the road. Now, I want to tell you something. Communication strengthens the emotional bonds in relational bonds in your marriage. Now, instead of just listening to what other people say, you've got to interpret what they mean. I mean, men know what I'm talking about. My wife and this friend of ours, we would pray. What was the name of that game? You know, what? Pictionary. And me and the other husband, you know, you draw something and you know, take us. But they could just put like a mark on a piece of paper, and the other one knew exactly what it was. But we could look at it, and for a million years, and we never could have come up with what it was. Now, you got to learn to decode words. Now, when the wife says, "I have nothing to wear," what she means is, "I have nothing new to wear." That's what she means. When the husband says, "I have nothing to wear," he means, "I got nothing clean to wear." That's what he means. So, don't parse their words. Listen to their hearts. Some people, I say, have difficulty expressing themselves, so you got to decode their language. You got to distill the meaning of what they're really trying to say. And this is especially true when dealing with children. You know, when my children were coming up, I didn't know whether, is this rebellion or ignorance? You know, I mean, did they not know what's going on, or do they know and they're playing me? You know what I'm saying? And I had a hard time figuring this out. Is this a lack of comprehension, or is this a lack of obedience? Are they lying, or am I missing something? Anybody know what I'm talking about right here? Trying to discern what's going on here in this heart. So make an extraordinary effort to understand. Number seven, rules for communication, labor to be understood. Labor to be understood. Words are important. Now, do your best to communicate clearly. Now, don't assume that people know anything. You know, when people come into the church nowadays, we assume they know about Adam and Eve and Noah and the ark. They don't know nothing. Some of them, I mean, they don't know anything. They are absolutely. I just came from, Denver, Colorado. This is a totally, they have no comprehension of anything whatsoever. So you've got to labor to be understood. Now, parents, you've got to establish your authority. R.G. Lee said that parental authority has not disappeared. The children have taken it over. Now, listen. You can't afford to permit disrespect in your home. You can't afford to permit disrespect in your home. Man, I was in England. I have never in my life seen such a bunch of snotty, bratty children in my entire life. You know why? Because in their culture, they just don't have any respect. They don't require any respect. The adults don't like the children. And I thought, man, this makes America look like a Sunday school class. Now, the fact is you can't permit disrespect in your home. Now, it's not just words, but it's tone that communicates disrespect. A comfort zone of disrespect creates a climate. The way you speak to your spouse influences the way your children look at your spouse. Did you hear what I just said right there? Now, disrespect is duplicated. Disrespect is it has a consequence. It has an influence. The direction in your home is not determined by what you teach. It's determined by what you tolerate. My wife and I were in a church many years ago. We were in the pastor's office, and his wife brought the children in to meet us. And these children, you could tell, they weren't excited about meeting us or anybody else. And the father, he tried to get them. He introduced us, and all they did was roll their eyes and grunt, and they never said anything. And I said to my wife, I said, if they don't fix this, they're in for a rough go. They've had jail time, multiple children out of wedlock. You know why? Now, I'm trying to be critical here, but I'm just telling you, you can't allow disrespect. And if we can teach dogs to go get the newspaper out of the box, we can teach our children to show respect to other people. Amen. I ain't buying in all this psychological mess, but anyway, back to the message right here. Now, listen. Parents are being trained by their children to accept disrespect. How? Murmuring, complaining, talking back. You can't permit this. You got to set the ground rules for your home. And don't assume everybody knows what you expect. So spell it out. Every home needs house rules. You got to establish boundaries. Boundaries prevent bondage. Say that. Boundaries prevent bondage. Say that again. Boundaries prevent bondage. You know, you got to have some fences. Amen. And have scriptural fences, you know? So dishonor and disrespect will not be tolerated. And finally, for family conversations, honor God's blueprint for the home. We're just going to hit this really quick right here. Honor God's blueprint for the home. I don't know if I have the scripture, but in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33, it says, nevertheless, every one of you in particular, so love his wife. Ephesians 5, verse 33, let every one of you love his wife, even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. We're going to have a session at the ladies' prayer advance on love and respect. Love and respect. You know what the husband's greatest need is? Respect. That's why it says to reverence the husband. In other words, show respect. Speak respectfully. And that's his greatest need. Now, can I say that divorce is the consequence of disrespect? And it cuts both ways. So if the husband's greatest need is respect, then the wife's greatest need is love. The Bible says right here, let every one of you love his wife. So the husband needs respect, and the wife's greatest need is love. So husband, love your wife. What are you talking about right here? Love with words. Speak loving words. Show love. Communicate love. That's what it says. The child's greatest need is in chapter 6, where it says that they children obey your parents in the Lord and honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment of promise. So the blueprint is pretty simple. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, respect your husbands. Children, honor your parents. Outward obedience, inward reverence. Outward obedience, inward reverence. I came to the Lord as a 15-year-old boy in Southside, Virginia, with no spiritual desires whatsoever. But you know, when I came to the Lord, you know the first thing that happened. And by the way, tomorrow night we're going to have a message, and we will have some gospel appeal in it. So if you got lost friends, tomorrow night would be a good night to bring them. It's not going to be all evangelistic, but part of it will be. But when I came to the Lord, you know the first thing that happened? My heart was turned to my Father. I wanted his approval, Dan. I wanted to please him. I didn't want to make a mess out of it. I remember one time I was riding home from baseball practice. We had to hitchhike 25 miles. Don't complain to me about what's going on today. I mean, we had to hitchhike 25 miles. And I remember one day we had a guy, he had a car, and we were cutting up, and I said, stop that car. And he stopped the car. I got out, and he started to drive away. I hopped on the hood. And I'm laying on the hood, you know. There ain't nothing to hang on to on the hood. He's tooling down the road probably 30 miles an hour when all of a sudden he hit the brakes. And guess where I went? Got knocked out. Knocked me out. I woke up in the middle of a 4-lane highway, staring up with all these faces like looking down at me. And they helped me up. They put me in the car. They propped me up between two of them in the front seat. I mean, remember bench seats in cars? And I was in front of the mirror. And I was there with my eyes closed. And I'd been knocked out. I had a concussion. I didn't know it. And I looked up in the mirror, and I was seeing triple. Like there was three of everything, and they were going around in circles like this right here. And I looked in the mirror, and my tooth had been knocked out. Now you tell me how a guy like me could get a tooth knocked out and not have a scratch on his nose. You tell me how that could happen. It's amazing. I looked at it, and the tooth is knocked out, and this one is ground off halfway. Oh, man. So they took me to the dentist, and the dentist said, you need to get this man to the hospital. So they took me to the hospital in South Boston, Virginia, which is a little bit better than Vietnam. You know what I'm saying? tooth knocked out, and this one's ground off, and, you know, I made a play the fool. And then who shows up? My father comes. I felt like an idiot. I was weeping, you know. And you know, what happened? Well, I wanted my dad's approval. And here I done played the fool and gone and knocked my tooth out and wonder I didn't get killed. But you know, are you with me on this right here? You know what? You owe your parents. You honor them. Respect them. Are they perfect? No. Nobody's perfect. But we still honor them for their position. Amen? We still obey them. We still respect them. Now, look. When children are young, they've got to be required to respect the parents. Abraham commanded his children after him. He couldn't force them to love God, but he could require that they showed respect. Now, disrespect is documented and compensated by God. You ever get around Asian people? You know, the thing about Asian people, I mean, they're respectful. I'll tell you what, that's why all those boys are ordering Filipino brides, brother, because, yes, sir, yes, sir. They're not mouthy like certain types. But anyhow, just. Now, have you ever noticed that they respect their elders so much it almost gets to the point of being a cult of worship? I mean, which is too far out, but all I'm saying is this, that we need to respect. We need to respect mom and dad, eh? And authority. Now, do what your mom and dad ask you the first time without complaining, without throwing a fit. And honor God's blueprint. Now, here's the application for tonight. All right, listen up. Words set the tone in the home. Words set the tone in the home. So of all these points that we've talked about here, flip back to the previous slide. If you could, just flip back to the previous slide. Yeah, all right, just put them all down there. Nope, there we go, perfect. All right, look at these points. Think twice before you speak. Which ones of these points is the most needful in your home? Speak calmly, not combatively. Compliment instead of criticize. Magnify the positives instead of the negatives. Notice the second four things that we have on the slide here, if you would, this evening. Can you flip the slide? Thank you. Listen first, speak later. Which ones of these are most needful in your home? Don't interrupt, learn to interpret. Number seven, labor to be understood. And labor to understand. And then finally, number eight, honors God's blueprint for the home. So I ask you tonight, which of these is needed most in your home this evening? I want to encourage you tonight to have a season of prayer together as a family, if possible. If you're the only one here, then you do the praying, all right? But if your family's here before you go to bed tonight, I would encourage you to fill out your top 100 list. And second, to make application and pray through this right here. Now, a happy home is where people speak appropriately, where family members speak appropriately. Put away lie, speak truth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. How many have identified one of those 8 points that's needed in your home tonight? Put your hand up. Put them up. All right, let's stand to our feet. Let's have a little season of prayer right here tonight. Maybe families would want to huddle up and have a season of prayer. I would really encourage that if you would. But the altar is going to be open, and perhaps there's just a soft music that could be played for just a moment as we make application the message tonight in our particular environments. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts this evening. God, thank you for the Word of God, which is so practical, down to earth, right where we're at. Lord, let homes be helped. And Lord, let our homes be nest without thorns. Lord, let our homes be a place where family members speak appropriately. So Lord, you just listen right now as we talk back to you about the stuff you've been talking to us about. Just talk to the Lord, make applications, do what you need to do. Altar's open if you want to huddle up here, or if you don't want to just huddle up right in your seat with your family, that would be a good thing. But let's talk to the Lord about what he's talking to us about this evening. Family, ask God to make you a peacemaker, a bridge builder, not a wall erector. No doubt represented where there's a breach, the circle's broken. Let's pray for others tonight as well, that hearts would be healed, relationships would be mended, consciences would be cleared, forgiveness would be granted, and forgiveness would be sought. Let's just pray that God would send revival into our home and into the homes represented in this church and in this valley. When God works, he turns the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. Father, thank you for every home represented here tonight. God, thank you for every tender heart. God, thank you for this good testimony tonight. What a great blessing, Lord. Oh, Father, thank you for turning, oh God, the hearts back toward you and toward one another. Father, I pray for blessing in every family represented here tonight. I pray you would encourage them. And Lord, one of those things tonight probably is needed in every one of our lives. So Father, let there be blessing come tonight. Father, let there be a season of prayer together with families, husbands and wives and children. Lord, I pray that there would be an adventure of reeling off the top 100 list and coming up with 100 things that we're thankful for. And Father, that you would so permeate our thoughts with gratitude, we wouldn't have time to worry about all the rest of it. So Lord, thank you for leading this shepherd, Pastor Boone, Father, to shepherd this flock. And Lord, I know he goes to homes and prays with people and seeks out opportunities to seek God. And Father, I thank you for that. And Father, thank you for his family, God, and how you've blessed them. And God, given him some answers to prayer even this week. And we're thankful for that. So Lord, we just bless you tonight. We appreciate you. You lead preacher as he would come tonight to give us further instruction.